and Vaishnavis. And what I was thinking about tonight, we would talk about, the devotees asked me to do Bhagavad Katha. So I thought it was a very interesting book written by one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. His name is Sanatan Goswami. Many of you have heard about Sanatan Goswami. There is six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And actually, there's eight. Because there's Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, who came at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's behest. I think it's easier if we put it here. Because I only have two hands in this incarnation. Okay. You got a piece of tape?
Yeah. Just give us start talking and we'll fix it.
All
right.
You want more microphone?
Technical difficulties. So, I thought it would be a good idea to give a summary and tell stories, because there's a lot of children here. From one of Sanatan Goswami's books, which is the essence of the Bhagavatam. And this book, written by Sanatan Goswami, was the first book that the Goswamis wrote. And this book was the book that was utilized by the other Goswamis to elaborate on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And this book, of course, is called the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Some of you may have a copy of it. And I advise reading this book, because then you'll understand the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Of course, the Bhagavatam is teaching us three aspects of the Krishna conscious philosophy: Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. Everybody knows those three? Sambandha means basically understanding the relationship and the definition of the material energy, the living entities, Krishna and Krishna's energies, and the relationship between all of them, the relationship between Krishna and illusion or Maya, the relationship between Krishna and Yoga Maya, the relationship between Krishna and the Jivas, and the relationship... Okay. That's fine. I'm used to this. Okay, works great. And the relationship between the Jivas and Krishna, and Jivas and Maya, and Jivas in the material world. Anyway, so that's Sambandha. And then Avideya means, what do you do about that knowledge once you know about it? In other words, Bhakti Yoga, beginning with Vaidhi Bhakti, and then after Vaidhi Bhakti, then you have Raganuga Bhakti, and then after that, you have Bhava Bhakti, and after that, you have Prema Bhakti. And of course, Prema Bhakti comes under the jurisdiction of Prayojana, you know, reaching the ultimate goal. So the Bhagavatam teaches all these different things in different stages. That's why we have 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam. And the first canto is considered to be the lotus feet of the Lord, and then the 10th canto is the smiling face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in order to understand Krishna consciousness, one has to understand Sambandha Gyan. Without Sambandha Gyan, everything else doesn't come, isn't useful. In other words, you have no foundation. Sambandha Gyan, understanding the nature of God, the nature of living entities, and the relationship between all those factors I mentioned before, that is the very foundation of Bhakti Yoga. Otherwise, you may become a Sahaja, or an impersonalist, or deviant in some way. So you're not going to really advance in devotional service. So, Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita teaches about Sambandha Gyan, Avideya Gyan, and Prayojana Gyan. And this evening we're going to start talking about the first part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Of course, I think most of you are aware that the Bhagavatam was spoken by various persons. Does anyone know who the first person to speak the Bhagavatam was? So, no. Good guess. Who?
Krishna.
Krishna. Wow. There's a winner there. And Krishna spoke the Bhagavatam. And how many verses did that Bhagavatam have?
Four verses.
Four verses. 18. That's 18 chapters in the Gita. You're getting very good. So there were four verses in the Bhagavatam. And then the Bhagavatam was spoken by who? Rama spoke it to Narada. Narada spoke it to Vyas. And Vyas wrote the Bhagavatam after he had written the Mahabharata and other literatures. And he was chastised by Narada Muni, his spiritual master, because he had not directly pointed out devotional service to the Lord. And this is brought out in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that if you read the Mahabharata, it's very hard to understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, many people watch that Mahabharata series on TV, especially there's a new one, the Star TV series. Some of you may have seen that. And maybe you'll understand Krishna's God, maybe you won't understand Krishna's God. And maybe you'll understand what to do about it, and maybe you won't understand what to do about it. And maybe you'll think Arjuna's God after watching that movie. Who knows? So that's the problem, because the Mahabharata contains within it the Gita. But the problem is that people don't really understand the totality or the purpose. Like in the 15th chapter of the Gita, text 15, what does Krishna say about the purpose of all the Vedic literatures? By all the Vedas, I'm to be known. And I'm the knower of the Vedas. So people don't understand that. They can look at the Vedas, and the Vedas are basically mainly dealing with the three modes of material nature. Does anyone know a verse in the Gita that says that? Any Gita scholars here?
Yes.
Tragunya? What's that? Tragunya, Vishaya, Veda, Nistragunya, Gravarjuna. What's the rest of it? Nirdvandvo, Nitrasatvashto. What's the rest? Niryogakshema Atmavan. Okay. Very, very nice verse. He says to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, that the Vedas are mainly meant for those in the three modes of nature, to gradually elevate them. And then he says to Arjuna, but you are not meant for these. Be free. Nirdvandvo, Nitrasatvashto. Be free from this duality. Yogakshema Atmavan. Be established in the self. So it's very difficult to understand. So therefore, Vyasadeva was told by Narada Muni, his spiritual master, you should compile the glories of the Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Kaitava Paramo Niramatsu Ralam Satam, this Bhagavatam cheats out all misunderstandings, cheating religion in the name of religion, just like we have so much cheating religion that's going on. Just like I went to, just to see what another religion was doing, I went to one Christian performance one time, and, you know, pure Christianity is nice. So anyway, and so what they were saying in this particular service, it was about 2 weeks ago, was that you can do any damn thing, but just God will save you. And Krishna doesn't say that in the Gita. He says, first of all, sarvadharmam prachaja, mamekam sharanam vraja. First you got to surrender. Then I'll free you from all sins. So that is called cheating religion. You just do this, and it doesn't matter what else you do, and then you're going to go back to heaven or go back wherever you're going to go. So Bhagavatam throws out all those things, and that's why the Bhagavatam is considered so important. It only has pure devotional service. So Sanatana, getting back to the point, so Sanatana Goswami compiled this Brihad Bhagavatamrita to give the essence or the amrit or the nectar of the Bhagavatam. So there's two parts of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The first part, you have Narada Muni looking for the best devotee of the Lord. And you'll find out who the best devotee is. And the second part, you have this one devotee named Gopal Kumar who is trying to find out what his constitutional position is in relationship to God, basically. And it's a very nice story. So we're going to talk about the first part. Maybe this will take one or two nights to talk about. I'm not sure. But it's quite long. So This first part of the story told by Sanatana Goswami, the context is that you have Maharaj Pariksit, who has passed away. Everybody knows that. And then Maharaj Pariksit, his son was Janamejaya. And Janamejaya was talking to Jaimini Rishi. And Janamejaya wanted to hear about the topics of the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata and the essence of the Vedic literatures. So this story told by Jaimini Rishi, Jaimini Rishi is the narrator, of course it's Sanatana Goswami, and then Jaimini Rishi, who is the one narrating this whole story within Sanatana Goswami's book. Then he starts with the story of King Pariksit. That's right. Nice music. So, a musical interlude. So he starts with the story of King Pariksit, who was cursed to die by who?
By a Brahmin boy.
What's the Brahmin boy's name?
Shingi.
Shingi. And why was he cursed to die by the Brahmin boy?
Because he just caught his dead snake and put on the Brahmin boy's
father's
neck. His neck.
That's right. And the Brahmin boy.
And then he heard about it, so he cursed him.
That
he's
going to
die by a snake bird.
That's good. What was the snake bird's name? Anybody know? Takshak. And so, when Maharaj Pariksit heard that, what did he do? Did he take a gun to protect himself against? Most of us would do that. We go to the doctor, take a gun, hire an army or something like that.
No.
But he took it as a benediction. He thought, wow, I know I only have 7 days to live. And there was an interesting king also who was told he only had a moment to live. What was that king's name? Does anyone know? Katang. And what did he do? He took shelter of Krishna and went back to Godhead. So Maharaj Pariksit was thinking, I want to take shelter of Krishna. So he sat down to fast till he died. And the sages were talking to him, and all of a sudden Shukadeva Goswami came. So anyway, after Shukadeva Goswami completed the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then his mother, Pariksit's mother, who was named Uttara, does anyone know who Uttara is? Then Uttara came to him and said, tell me what you just heard. And Pariksit was thinking, I only have a few moments left. So I don't have time to recite 7 more days of Bhagavatam, you know, I maybe have an hour or 2 or 3 left. So he told his mother the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here's the story, the first story, the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You have Narada Muni, who's looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada Muni first starts in India in a place called Prayag. And when he starts there, he sees that the Brahmanas, they're worshipping this deity named Madhava. Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune, who is Krishna. And Narada Muni is thinking, wow, he's the best devotee of the Lord. But then a Brahmin comes along. And the Brahmin is very, very wealthy. And he arranges for the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Brahmana is praised by Narada Muni. Narada Muni says, you are the best devotee of the Lord. Now, we should understand in this story that every time a devotee is praised, a devotee doesn't accept that on his own behalf. A devotee actually says, no, there's a better devotee than me. Usually in this material world, we like to get praised. If someone praises us, we think they're wonderful. They're our friend. But actually, the Vedic injunction is, he who praises me is my enemy. Which is interesting. Because usually the person who praises you wants something from you. Like if you go into the car dealership to buy a car, what do? They praise you. They say, how is the family doing? Oh, Mr. Patel or Mr. Rao or whatever, it's so nice to see you again. Actually, they couldn't care about you. And then they want to cheat you. or take all your money. So this is normal. So the Chanaka Pandit says, actually, he appraises me as my enemy, and he who chastises me as my friend. Because if someone chastises you, it helps you remain humble. So anyway, so Narada Muni was praising this one particular Brahmin, and the Brahmin has said, no, I'm not a good devotee at all. You want to see a good devotee, you go and see this king in South India who's worshiping the deity and the Brahmanas. And Narada Muni is thinking, wow, now I get to see the best devotee. So he goes to South India, and he sees this king, and he praises the king, embraces the king, and the king says, look, I am only a human being. If you really want to see a good devotee, you got to go to the demigods. And actually, the best of the demigods, he is talking right now, is Indra. Indra is the best of the demigods. He has an elephant, Airavata, and also he has Vamanadev as his brother. And he has possession of the Parijata tree. So, Narada Muni flies to heaven. How can Narada Muni travel? Do you know how Narada Muni travels? Rocket. Not rocket.
He just teleports.
He teleports? No. No.
Vibration of chanting.
Vibration of chanting. And that's what we hear in the second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This one devotee, Gopakumar, is chanting the Gopal mantra. And so Narada Muni Bhaja Bina Radhika Ramana Namane. He's chanting Hare Krishna, which is Radhika Ramana. Radhika Ramana Namane, the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So, by chanting with his Veena, he goes to the heavenly planets. And when he goes to the heavenly planets, he sees Indra, of course, and he sees Vamana on the side of Indra, and he sees Indra's wife, Sachi. And Indra is crying out of love from his thousand eyes. Thousand eyes Indra has. So he's crying out of love. And Narada starts to praise him and saying, actually, you are so fortunate. You have Lord Vamana as your younger brother. That's very interesting. Lord Vamana is actually Indra's younger brother. And so what is Lord Vamana's name? In terms of being the younger brother of Indra. Does anyone know that name? Upendra. Upa Indra. He's the younger brother. So he starts praising him, and Indra says, why are you making fun of me? I am not actually a great devotee of the Lord, and I'll tell you several stories. One story is that when Krishna took the Parijata tree for his wife, which wife? Satyabhama. What did Indra do?
He fought
with Krishna. And another time, he was fighting with Krishna when Krishna and Arjuna were attempting to burn down the Kandava forest. You know that story? So, he said, actually, I am not such a great devotee of the Lord. If you want to see a great devotee, you go to see Lord Brahma. He is actually the head person of this universe. And so, Narada went to Brahma, and he said to Brahma that you are actually the greatest devotee of the Lord. And Brahma, he didn't like that. He said, don't you remember the lessons I taught you when you were a little kid? Because Narada Muni was Brahma's child. So he said, don't you remember that? He said, I am not actually a good devotee. I'm only interested in liberation. And in fact, I'm such a bad devotee that I give benedictions to demons. Which demons got benedictions from Lord Brahma? Hiranyakashipu. Who else?
Robin
got benedictions. And what else did Lord Brahma do when Krishna was present? He stole the calves and the coward boys. That's pretty bad, isn't it? What kind of devotee is that? Can you imagine stealing Krishna's cows or calves and coward boys? And actually, if I was such a good devotee, when Lord Nrisingadev appeared, I was scared of him. And I had to send Prahlad Maharaj to pacify him. and so many bad things I did. If you really want to see a good devotee, go to see Lord Shiva. He said, okay. So Narada Muni said, okay, I'll go to see Lord Shiva. So we went to see Lord Shiva, chanted Radhika Ramana Namane, went to see Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was dancing in ecstasy. And Lord Shiva didn't have any clothes on. And Lord Shiva was covered with ashes. And so it's an interesting point. Why is it that Lord Shiva is so austere and Lord Shiva's devotees are so wealthy and Krishna is such a sense gratifier and Krishna's devotees are not that wealthy? That's a mystery, isn't it? Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh. He's easily pleased. So he gives his devotees anything they ask for. But Krishna, what does Krishna do? Krishna does not give his devotees anything that's not good for them. Yashaham anugrindami harishe tadanam shanai. If something's not good, he just takes it away. That's interesting. And so Lord Shiva was dancing like that, completely naked, and Narada Muni started chanting, Om Namo Shivaya. So it's bona fide. Actually, it is bona fide to worship Shiva as a devotee. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. So many times immature Vaishnavas misunderstand and they disrespect the demigods. But even we have Nanda Maharaj who performed the puja to Lord Shiva on Shivaratri. So that's perfectly all right, but you have to understand who Lord Shiva is. In Bhuvaneshwara, which is sometimes called Gupta Kashi. Anyone's heard of Bhuvaneshwara before? It's in Orissa. So it's called Gupta Kashi. And that's where Lord Shiva is worshipped. And guess what they offer to Lord Shiva for prasad? Does anyone know? Anyone here from Orissa? They take Jagannath prasad and put it in a taxi and drive it to Bhuvaneshwara, which takes about 20 minutes driving, because they're very fast. And they give it to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva enjoys Mahaprasad. There's that story in the Chaitanya Mangal that many of you may have heard, that one time Narada Muni got Mahaprasadam and he was dancing and dancing, and Lord Shiva said, why are you dancing and dancing? And Narada Muni said, because I've gotten some Mahaprasadam. Lord Shiva said, did you save any for me? And Narada Muni said, no. And then Narada Muni looked under his fingernails and he found a little speck of Mahaprasad. And then he gave it to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva started dancing in ecstasy. And Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, said to Lord Shiva, what are you doing? The universe is being destroyed. Stop. And he said, why did you stop me? And she said, the universe is being destroyed. And she said, why are you dancing like that? And he said, because I got Mahaprasad. And Parvati said, did you save any for me? And Lord Shiva said, no, you're Maya. It's like sometimes you say to someone, you're in Maya. So with Parvati, you can say, you are Maya. So he said, you're Maya, you're material energy, you don't get any Mahaprasad. And she got so angry that she took a vow that she was going to make Lord Vishnu appear and distribute Mahaprasadam to all of us. And that's why we get Mahaprasadam. That story is there in the Chaitanya Mangal. I think some of you may have read that story. Very nice story. So Lord Shiva, getting back to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Lord Shiva was dancing in ecstasy and Narada Muni started to glorify him and Lord Shiva got angry. Because Lord Shiva, he was a very humble devotee. He doesn't like to be glorified. He likes to glorify Krishna. So Lord Shiva basically stuck his hands in his ears. And Narada Muni kept praising him. He said, look, all your devotees, you give them benedictions that ultimately causes them to die. And that's good, because they're interfering with Krishna's pastimes. Just like that Jayadrath. You all know the story of Jayadrath in the Mahabharata? Jayadrath was given a benediction that whoever caused his head to fall to the ground his body would immolate, in other words, catch on fire, become cremated immediately. So no one could kill Jayadrath. But Krishna, being very intelligent, he told Arjuna, when Arjuna fired the arrow at Jayadrath, what did he tell Arjuna? Do you know? Lap of his father, and his father died. So whatever benediction Lord Shiva gives ends up predicting how the person is going to die. Just like that story in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam of Vrikasura. Vrikasura, he was offering his own flesh to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, what do you want? He said, I want the benediction of whosoever head I touch will split into 1,000 or 1,000,000 pieces. And Vrikasura said, thank you for that benediction after he got it. And immediately he went after Lord Shiva because he wanted to take Parvati. And then Lord Vishnu had to save him by becoming a little brahmachari, a Shiva brahmachari, and said, you know, why don't you test the benediction? Because you can't really trust Lord Shiva's benediction. You test it on your own head. And so he touched his own head, and his own head split into millions of pieces. And so whatever benediction Lord Shiva gives generally indicates how the demon's going to die. Even with Lord Brahma giving benedictions to the demons too, it indicates how they're going to die. There's an interesting story with Lord Brahma. Once upon a time, there were two demons. They were brothers, and one was called Sunda, and the other was called Upasunda. And these two demons went to Lord Brahma, asked for benediction, asked for immortality. Lord Brahma said, I cannot give immortality, but you can choose how you can die. So they said, the only way we will die is if we kill each other. But they were brothers. Brothers usually don't fight, right? No. So they were brothers, and they were thinking, we will never kill each other. But Lord Brahma planned how this benediction would be the cause of their death. He called for Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma is the architect of the demigods. And he said to Vishwakarma, you should create the most beautiful girl imaginable. So Vishwakarma did some genetic engineering. You know what genetic engineering is? He took the genes of the most beautiful nose, ears, eyes, hair, you know, lips, neck, body, and he put them all together, and the girl was called Tilotama. That means topmost sesame girl. Sometimes in certain places in India, the husband will say to the wife, my dear little sesame seed. So anyway, so she was called the sesame girl. You know, Tilotama, Utama, Tilotama. So anyway, so this girl circumambulated the demigods to go on her mission. And the demigods were so attracted to her, someone grew extra heads and eyes just to see her. And then Tilotama was sent down to see these two boys, you know, Sunda and Upasunda, and they broke drunk and they fought each other over her and they killed each other. So the demigods' benedictions, generally they end up like that. So anyway, so Narada Muni was praising Lord Shiva in that particular way. And Narada Muni even recited this verse that Radhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Radhanam Param Tasmat Paratram Devi Tvadiyanam Samarchanam. That even better than worship of Vishnu, of course, worship of Vishnu is the highest, but even worship of Krishna's devotee or Vishnu's devotee is higher than that. And in this way, Lord Shiva was being glorified by Narada Muni. But Lord Shiva had an argument. He said, actually, the problem is I'm not a good devotee because I preach impersonalism. How did he preach impersonalism? Does anyone know? Shankaracharya. That was his mission. Because his mission was to bring people back to the Vedic literatures after Lord Buddha had taken them away. Because people were misusing the Vedic literatures to exploit people and to also kill animals and do other things like that. And so Shankaracharya brought them back to the Vedic literatures, but teaching what's called covered Buddhism. covered Buddhism. That's impersonalism. And generally people think nowadays, when they talk about Hinduism, they think about Shankaracharya's teachings. But that's not the original teachings. And Shankaracharya, of course, said, when he was getting ready to leave this world, Vajagovinda Madamate, said to his disciples, "You rascals, just worship Krishna." So Lord Shiva was arguing with Narada Muni, and he said, "Actually, I grant liberation, and I destroy the creation. How am I a great devotee? When I do my dance, it's not just an ordinary Bharatanatyam dance. It's Tandavadurcha. It's the destruction of the whole creation. So better go to someone else. Actually, you should go and see the Vaikuntha devotees. They're actually real devotees." But then what happened is that his wife came. That's Parvati. And she said, "Actually, the best devotee is Lakshmi." And Lord Shiva didn't want to disagree with her. Because even Lord Shiva's scared of disagreeing with Lakshmi. I mean, with Parvati. Because Lakshmi and Parvati, they're like this, they're good friends. So Lord Shiva said, "Well, let's talk secretly, Narada, when my wife's not around." Interesting story, isn't it? So Narada was wanting to go to Vaikuntha, but Lord Shiva thought about it for a second, and he said, "Actually, I have a secret. And actually, the best devotee that I know of is Prahlad Maharaj. And because he refused any boon that the Lord offered him. As we know, when Lord Nrisingadeva appeared, Lord Nrisingadeva said, 'Whatever you want, I can give you.' And Prahlad Maharaj said, 'What? I'm not a Vaniya. I'm not a merchant.' But ultimately, he did ask for something. He asked for that his father would be liberated. And he said, 'I am actually pained by the suffering of all the living entities in this world.' So he exhibited his Vaishnava compassion. So therefore, Narada Muni, at that point, went to see Prahlad Maharaj. And when he went to see Prahlad Maharaj, he started to glorify Prahlad Maharaj and to worship Prahlad Maharaj. Now that was a little bit of a problem because Prahlad Maharaj was Narada Muni's disciple. Narada Muni gave Prahlad Maharaj instructions when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother. What was his mother's name?
Kayadu.
And where was Narada's ashram? Does anyone know? Nobody knows. It was in Nardakund. Nardakund is in right near Govardhan. And that's the place where Narada Muni stays and teaches and wrote the Narada Pandaratra as well as the Narada Bhakti Sutras. And the reason Narada Muni can stay there, because he was cursed not to be able to stay anywhere, is because that area is in the spiritual world and curses don't apply in the spiritual world. I'll tell you an interesting story about that particular place. Narada Muni one time wanted to see the rasa dance of Radha and Krishna. So there's a restriction about seeing Krishna's rasa dance. And that restriction is there's only one male allowed. And who's that?
Krishna.
Everybody else has to be a lady. So Narada Muni went, and then he confronted the guard of the rasa dance. That was Gopishra Mahadev. That's Lord Shiva as a gopi. And so Lord Shiva said, "You have to become a gopi if you want to see Krishna's rasa dance." And Narada said, "How am I going to do that?" And Lord Shiva said, "Go bathe in this lake called the Kushima Sarovara." So Narada Muni went to bathe in the Kushima Sarovara, and he came out, and his name was Naradi. Naradi, that's Narada Muni's a gopi. So he showed up at the rasa dance, thinking he was going to have a very nice performance to watch. And Krishna saw him immediately, stopped the rasa dance, and said, "Hey, Narada, what are you doing here? What are you doing?" Because Krishna could recognize who he was. And then Narada said, "You know, I want to see your rasa dance." And Krishna said, "I have a better idea for you. You stay here and write the Narada Pancharatra, the Narada Bhakti Sutras, and make your ashram here. And Narada Muni said, I can't because I've been cursed by Daksha. Daksha has cursed me that I can't remain in any place for very long. And Krishna said, that curse does not apply in the spiritual world. And here we are in the spiritual world. So therefore, Narada Muni was able to stay there and also preach to Kayadhu, who is Prahlad Maharaj's mother. And that place is right opposite of Kushma Sarovara. Anybody been there? You've been there. Off the road, it's right on the opposite side of the Parikrama path. It's called Nardaguna, a very beautiful place. So, anyway, so Narada Muni was praising his own disciple, and he said, you are such a great devotee that not only did he refuse benedictions, but guess what Lord Nrsingadev did after he put you on his lap? He licked you. Like a cat. You know, sometimes a cat will lick someone. So Lord Nrsingadev, out of love for Prahlad Maharaj, was licking him. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine being licked by the Lord. That's wonderful. And so he continued to praise him in different ways. He said that Krishna said he was always defeated by you. And even your grandson, who's Prahlad Maharaj's grandson? Bali Maharaj has now gotten the Lord as his doorkeeper. Wow. So that's, you're so great. But Prahlad said, I am not a good devotee at all. Why? Because the only thing I do is just one process of devotional service, which is what? Smarana. Smarana. Of course he also chants, but the main process is Vishnu Smaranam. He's known as the Acharya for Vishnu Smaranam. Each and every one of the nine processes of devotional service has a particular Acharya. Smaranam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, like that. Navabhakti. So Prahlad Maharaj said, I only remember Krishna, and I have very bad relatives. Very bad relatives. I mean, phew. Just think about it. Bali Maharaj, Banasura, fantastic family. My father was Aranyakashipu. So, you know, not such a good family. In fact, you said that Bali was such a great devotee, but the Lord remains there as his doorkeeper, not to serve him, just to make sure he doesn't escape. You understand? Because they're afraid Bali's going to escape, so Krishna just says, you know, doorkeeper keeps you in. Doesn't keep other people out. So he said, actually, I only saw Krishna once. How can I be a good devotee? So then he begins to praise another good devotee, Hanuman. Everybody knows who Hanuman is. Hanuman, of course, is Lord Ram's faithful servant. And so then Narada Muni decides to go to see Hanuman. And Hanuman is in a place called Kim Purusha Loka. Kim Purusha means, basically, is it a person or is it a human being? So Hanuman is not exactly a monkey. He's like, has some features of a monkey, but he's not exactly like you see the rhesus monkeys or the other monkeys in the zoo. Hanuman is actually very, very intelligent, and he can change his shape at any moment to anything he wants to change. So Narada Muni flies to see him, and he begins to glorify Hanuman at this particular point. And Hanuman says, actually, if I was such a great devotee, I would have been taken back to the spiritual world with Lord Ram when he left this world. Because he asked all of his devotees to enter to the Sarayu River, right? At the end of Lord Ram's pastimes, he said, you know, all the devotees enter into the Sarayu River, and anyone who wants to go back to Godhead, go with me. And he said to Hanuman, you have to stay here. And you have to stay here as long as my glories are chanted in this universe. And Hanuman did that. And he's worshiping the deity of Sita and Ram. And you know where that deity is now? Does anyone know where that deity of Sita Ram is now? In Udupi. Udupi. Because that deity that Hanuman was worshipping, that we're talking about in the story, was originally worshipped in the Suryavamsa by Vivaswan. And that deity was passed down through the ages and given to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram didn't want to worship his own deity. He put that deity in a closet. Because obviously, you're not duty-bound to worship a deity of yourself. And that's called a hunger upasana, where you worship yourself. Sometimes people do that. They say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most whatever? Good sannyasi of them all. But anyway, that's called a hunger upasana, where you look in the mirror. You know, traditionally, in the ashrams, they would never allow mirrors. Did you know that? Because the sannyasis or brahmacharis, they would look at themselves, and they, you know, whenever you have a mirror, you just look like that. But the ladies are always allowed mirrors because they have to comb their hair. So, anyway, getting back to the story about the deities. So Lord Ram put the deities in his closet, but there was a brahmana in Lord Ram's kingdom who had taken a vow never to eat unless he saw Lord Ram that day. So sometimes Lord Ram had to go to the forest. And when he went to the forest, that poor brahmana was fasting. So when Lord Ram heard about it, he gave the brahmana that deity. And that deity was later on given to Hanuman. And Hanuman later on gave it to one of his brothers. What was the brother's name? Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya is Vayuputra. Madhvacharya, Hanuman, who's the third Vayuputra? Bhimsen, the son of the wind. So, and that deity is in Udupi today. So you can go to see that deity. So, anyway, so Hanuman was worshipping that deity in Kim Purusha Loka. And he said to Narada Muni, I said, actually, I'm not such a great devotee of the Lord. The Lord, Ram, rejected me. If you actually want to see good devotees, you should go to see the Pandavas. So then, Narada Muni said to Hanuman, come with me to see the Pandavas. And Hanuman said, no. I cannot leave here without the order of Lord Ram. Because that is the chastity of a devotee in relationship with his worshipable deity. In fact, there was an interesting story told in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about that. That once upon a time, Krishna and Dwarka wanted to see Hanuman. And then he sent a message with Garuda, the bird carrier of the Lord. He said, Garuda, bring Hanuman here. So Garuda went to see Hanuman and said, Hanuman, the Lord wants to see you. And Hanuman said, no, I am not going anywhere unless Lord Ram asks me. So Garuda said, you're coming by force. Get on my back, you monkey. And what did Hanuman do? He took his tail and went like that to Garuda. And Garuda went flying all the way back to Lord Vishnu's feet, or Krishna's feet. And Krishna said, what happened? And then Garuda explained. And Krishna said, you were too proud of all your powers. And now I'll arrange for Hanuman to come. So Krishna manifested himself as Ram. And he had Rukmini manifest herself as Sita. And then Hanuman came. So Hanuman is so devoted to Lord Ram. I mean, this is interesting too, but each and every devotee has a specific incarnation or appearance of the Lord that they focus on. And you can't convince them to do anything else. Even Lord Chaitanya tried to convince the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami to just worship Krishna. symptom of ecstasy. That's called Yabachari Baba. So he tried to convince Anupama, who was Rupa Sanatan Goswami's brother, just worship Krishna, not Ram. And he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. And Lord Chaitanya also tried to convince Murari Gupta, who was an incarnation of Hanuman, and he couldn't do it either. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is very glorious. A devotee who is very attached to his Ishtadeva, his worshipful deity. So Hanuman is completely attached, so he couldn't go to see the Pandavas. So what happened is that Narada Muni at that particular point went to Hastinapur to see the Pandavas, saying that the Pandavas are the best devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. Do we have more time to continue, or should
we? Yeah, we have until 9.
We have until 9, okay, because there's a lot more story. I'm not going to finish it tonight. You'll tune in tomorrow night. So Narada Muni started to glorify the Pandavas. He said, look, you're so great that your friend, one of your best friends, is Draupadi. You know, that he would call her a Sakhi, which means friend. And you provided unlimited sari when Draupadi was the attempted disrobing of Draupadi at the gambling match. And you loved the Pandavas so much that you even relished the porridge, that means just simple cereal, that was given to you by Vidura. And not only that, but you stood there while Bhishma left this world and allowed Bhishma to see you. And Krishna said, anyone who says the Pandavas are their friend, they are my friend. And anyone who considers the Pandavas to be my enemy is my enemy. So, but Yudhisthira Maharaj, being the head of the Pandavas, the oldest, he said, actually, we are not good devotees, because anyone who hears about us loses faith in Krishna. Why would you lose faith in Krishna if you heard about the Pandavas? Anyone know?
Suffering.
What?
Suffering.
Suffering. And you become a great devotee, and look what happens to you. They try to kill your children, you know, the poison, Bhimsain, burn you to death in the house of Lak. They exile you, try to disrobe your wife. Hare Krishna, I'm joining a different movement. Isn't it? You hear about that. I mean, if Krishna loves you so much, why does he do that? Of course, we do understand that Queen Kunti prays, this is from the Bhagavatam, she prays, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. Again and again let those difficulties occur. Why? Because Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Because in this way, we will not see repeated birth and death. Because the real danger is to fall into Maya. Is to think that you are this body, that everything is nice in this world. That happens in the heavenly planets. Just like, I used to be GBC. Everybody knows what a GBC is? I used to be the GBC of Hawaii. Everybody's heard of Hawaii? Prabhupada said, if there's any nice place in this material world, it's in Hawaii. That's Prabhupada's statement. So, when I was made the GBC of Hawaii, I'm a GBC, but not the GBC of Hawaii anymore, thank God. I went there, and I thought, wow, back to home, back to heaven. So, I thought I had won the jackpot in Krishna consciousness. So I got there, and I was giving Bhagavatam class one morning, and nobody was there. And I said, where's everybody? And they said, well, the surf is up. You understand? The waves, the surf, who Prabhupada called sufferers. Surfer, sufferers, like that. And I was thinking, this is crazy. This place is crazy. So it's like that the heavenly planets or material enjoyment actually impedes one's too much material enjoyment. Bodhaishvari prasadhanam taya prita chaitasam Yavasayat Megabudir Samado Navatiyate. Anyone know that verse? One who is attached to just too much opulence. I mean, we need a certain amount, but too much. Voga Aishvarya. That means what? Sense gratification, opulence. Prashaktanam is attached. Paya Prithachetasam. That he cannot fix his mind and be one-pointed. Because to be Krishna conscious means that you have to, what? Yavasayatma Gaburiya Rekeha Kurunandana. You have to be fixed, one-pointed. That's my goal. That's my sankalpa. My goal. This is what I'm trying to achieve with my life. So each and every one of us should ask ourselves, what is the goal of my life? And if it's not, you know, just be honest. If it's opulent life, then just pray to Krishna. Akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, dharati, tibrani, bhakti, yajeta, purusham, purama. I'll tell you a story about that. I mean, I'm just mixing my own stories with this, which just makes it more interesting. That one of my friends in India, he lives in Delhi, he's a real estate magnate. And every time I come to India, he goes on the Govardhan Parikrama with me. And so I said, why are you coming on Govardhan Parikrama? He said, because I want money. I want to be wealthy. I want to migrate. He wants to migrate to New Zealand. So he's revealing his mind, he's honest. I said, okay, if that's what you want, go on Govardhan Parikrama, chant the holy names. He gave up meat, fish, eggs, alcohol. I mean, that's a big thing. If you're engaged in big business in Delhi, people drink, people eat meat, people do everything. It's not, India's not the same as it used to be when I was a kid. So, all right, so he goes on Parikrama, very devoted, you know. I wish I had disciples like him. So very devoted, so he's enthusiastic, going on Parikrama. And a few days ago, I got a letter from him. Every time I go to India, I got a letter from him. He says, actually, I want to become a real devotee now. Because one approaches Krishna for any motive, eventually it works. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted everything, right? He wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. So eventually, he got it, but he said, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, and now I found a wonderful gem, a wonderful diamond. And it's from the Hari Bhakti Sudhaya. So, in the same way, that was my experience with this person. He just said, wow, I hope one day to have a pure heart like the rest of you. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And you were just asking for better real estate deals as you were going around Govardhan. So the point is that Krishna does put his devotees into difficulties sometimes and makes things difficult, because that's just like if you have a blade or a knife, then you have to just sort of like hit it with a hammer and make it sharp and everything like that. It takes a little pain there. Well, whether they say no pain, no gain. So that's part of becoming Krishna conscious. I don't want to scare anyone off with that. So Yudhisthira Maharaj said, when devotees hear about us, they don't want to be devotees because they'll lose faith. And after Krishna solved all of our difficulties, he left us. He cheated us. And we know, as I mentioned before, Kunti was asking for more difficulties. And Yudhisthira Maharaj said, actually, when you came here, we were talking about coming up with some difficulties so Krishna would come back. Because Krishna only comes around when there's difficulty. So let's dream up something, you know, some monster, demon, attack, death, or whatever, so that we have some difficulty. And so Yudhisthira says that if you really want to see good devotees of the Lord, you should go to see the Yadus. Because the Yadus get to see Krishna all the time. Krishna stays there in Dwarka with them. So at that point, Narada Muni wants to go to see the others, and I think we'll end tonight on that note, and then we'll take any questions that some of you may have about the narration so far or about Krishna consciousness in general. Questions? Comments? Arguments? Yes.
The Yadus are never so devoted, and Krishna says in Gita, Yamim Bhapi Samanam Tajatyan Kalevaram. So how come they were, the ending was so bad?
That's a very interesting story. That's the Moksha Leela, the disappearance pastime of the Lord and of the Lord's devotees. So what happened is that when Krishna decided to leave the planet, let's go back a little bit. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna got cursed by Gandhari. You know that? Because Gandhari was so upset that her entire family, and sons at least, had been killed in this fratricidal war, the battle of Kurukshetra. So she cursed Krishna. She did. She also cursed Yudhisthira too. She looked at Yudhisthira's feet, which were previously beautiful, and the toes curled up and became ugly at that. She looked under her blindfold like that. So then she cursed Krishna, because Krishna, you are the cause of this. You could have stopped this. I cursed you to have your dynasty destroyed in about 30-something years after that. So Krishna said, thank you, Mataji. Because Krishna wanted his devotees to leave this world. So then what happened is that Krishna got ready to leave this world. It was time for Krishna to leave. And so he thought, I have to get rid of my dynasty, because if they remain, it's going to be too heavy a burden for the earth. First of all, they're going to be in so much distress having Krishna left that it would be a very great burden and be very disturbing. And secondly, they want to leave. If Krishna's not there, why would they stay around? So it was their desire too. So Krishna came up with this pastime. And this pastime was that the young boys, especially Samba, were teasing the sages. And Samba was dressed up as a little girl. You know the story? Samba was dressed up as a little girl, and they asked the sages, Samba sort of had a pillow in his stomach. They asked the sages, this little girl is going to give birth to a child. Is it going to be a boy or a girl? This is before they had ultrasound. And so the sages got very angry, and they said, this girl, boy, will give birth to a club that will be the cause of the destruction of the entire dynasty. So a club came out, and then Rusena ground up the club, threw the pieces in the ocean, and there was one big piece that became the arrow that hit Krishna later on. But anyway, those pieces later came back and grew into strong canes. And the Yadu dynasty, at that point, they got drunk on rice wine. And they fought each other and killed each other and went back. And some of them, they were the demigods, actually. They went back to their places in the heavenly planets, and they left this world. Some of the members of the Yadu dynasty remained, but those whom Krishna wanted to go back to the spiritual, go back to the heavenly planets, went back to the heavenly planets. So it was his method and their desire too. That's why it happened. Why is it was Krishna's desire? And he arranged for this pastime. And this pastime also shows us the danger of drinking liquor. Because when one drinks liquor, one loses his intelligence. Like Prabhupada said, when he was talking to people in the early days of the movement, when there were some young people intoxicated, he said, it's an illusion within an illusion. Liquor. Liquor or marijuana or any of these other things that people take nowadays. So that's why we don't take intoxication, because it puts us in an illusion within an illusion. But the reason for that pastime is Krishna wanted him to leave this world. And, you know, that's probably the best way to go. I mean, they could have died through disease, or they could have left.
Even Gandhari was, died in the bushfire.
Bushfire, yeah. Bushfire, and then, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, and Kunti also. Kunti followed them into the forest at that particular point. And also Vidura. The Mahabharata describes Vidura was there, too, so. So, anyway, so the Lord's devotees are subject to the difficulties sometimes, and just like Hanuman has to experience so much separation from Lord Ram. Can you imagine someone who you love so much, and then you have to stay around forever? basically forever for a long period of time, lamenting their separation. Any other questions? Or comments? No? Yeah.
The three volumes of Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Guru Paramahansa Prabhu has provided,
yeah,
are those related to Sambandh Abhidheya Prayojan that you said earlier?
They touch upon all three topics. It's not that each topic just touches upon one. Like in the first volume, you also have Sambandh Abhidheya Prayojana. And a second two, which is part two. A second two and three, which are part two of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, touches upon all three. Yeah. And all the books of the Goswamis were written after the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was written. It's like the foundational book for the Goswamis' literatures. Okay? Okay? So if there's no other questions, then will we have RT now?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. All glorious is around grace. Shilabhapa, Shilabhapa, Ki Jai.
There's another class on Wednesday night.